Praise the Lord. I want you to open to Romans 12. I'm going to exhort you this morning. It's Father's Day. And the reason that I mention that is one of the things I love to do is watch the Holy Spirit weave together the messages that come forward at the prayer center. And I'm seeing with my own eyes now, I'm seeing something He taught me many, many, and I mean many years ago. It's a little document I have posted at the website called Wisdom is a Tapestry. In the early days, my study methods were quite different than they are now. I would study by subject. You know, I'd want to learn everything there was in the Bible about, say, healing. So I'd start getting my concordance and my Woost and my Weeks and my Strong, and I'd start getting out the different books and I'd start finding scriptures on healing, which is all right. But then I'd find maybe prosperity, I'd find all of that, maybe salvation and peace. And that was kind of the way I did it. And one day while I was praying in the Spirit, the Lord says, well, that's one way to study. But He says, really, wisdom is a tapestry. He says, the way you're doing it, you're going to my word and you're pulling out. Now, I may have the colors wrong. It's been nearly 20 years. You see, you can study all of the red lines of salvation. You can start pulling out all those threads, but, you know, when you get through with that, you're going to have a pile of red thread. You can start studying the blue lines of prosperity, and you can start, you know, pulling those out and finding them and gathering them all together, and then you're going to have a nice pile of blue thread to go along with your pile of red thread. Same with healing. You could go on, He says, but He says, if you'll allow my Spirit to teach you the Word, and you learn to study my Word in whole subjects. Now, see, I didn't know it was going to be many years later that Pastor Dave would teach us the laws of assimilation. And that's the principle the Holy Spirit was trying to get across to me even way back then. He says, if you'll learn to study my Word in its entirety and then pray in the Holy Ghost, my Spirit will weave all of those threads together in your spirit. And the image that comes forth will be like a tapestry that bears an image. And that image is my Son. I'm watching that happen before my eyes now. As everybody is assimilating and meditating and praying in the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter who speaks. I can see that weaving process coming forward now. Now let me just, I know many of you haven't come or can't come to the 8:30 service. You know, those are available at Dave's website. And I'm not really pushing those services, you know. I mean, but let me just tell you, just for the last Sunday and this Sunday, it's Father's Day. Now, Alan has done those services the last Sunday and today. Now, let me just share with you two images that just stuck with me from Alan's messages. He's not here, so I'm not doing this for his purpose. But he says, he remembered, you're talking a father and a son. See, if you're a Christian, you're not really in a religion, you're in a family. God is your father, you're his child. And the reason I had you turn to Romans 12, which we'll look at in a minute, he's interested in tutoring you. He's interested in teaching you. So, these two images. Look, last Sunday, Alan was reminded of when he was a young man, very young, still at home. And he would go on hunting trips with his father. And that was in Canada. How many of you know they get a lot of snow in Canada? So they'd go, they'd bundle up and they'd go out in the woods, you know, well, they'd drive first way out in the woods and they'd leave the pickup and they'd go off to hunt. Well, being young, I don't know, maybe he was 12 or something, he says, you know, we didn't have to get very far from that pickup where I couldn't see the road anymore. I didn't know, we're out in the woods and the mountains. He said, you know, on my own, I'd be in big trouble out there. I wouldn't know how to get back to the pickup, much less get back to the house in safety in a fire. He says, but I learned something very early on, traveling with my father. I learned all I really had to do was just step in my father's footprints. Wherever he stepped, I just stepped in those same footprints. And you know what? By that process, we always made it back to the truck. And we always made it back home safely. He said, all I had to do was learn to walk in my father's footsteps. Now, is that good or what? Now, this morning he was talking about a more recent event. He's got a son named Harrison who's trying to learn how to swim. So he took him to a swimming class, and Harrison, because of lack of experience, he was a little behind the rest of the students that were there. Well, they have two groups in that school. The more proficient group they call the eels, and the less proficient group they call the guppies. Well, they put him in with the eels at first, and he really wasn't quite able to keep up with them. You know, Harrison was trying, wasn't able to keep up with them. So the lady instructor said to Alan, says, well, now, maybe we need to put your son with the guppies. Now, I don't think he said it quite this way, but he says, woman, my son is no guppy. He belongs with the eels. He'll be eating sharks soon. But what he really said was this. He says, I knew instantly what the solution to the problem was. All my son needs is a little time with Daddy. He took some time out. He said he spent more time in the pool this last week than he has in the last 5 years. But he took the time out, and he not only spoke to Harrison, like one of the things he says, now, Harrison, if you blow up a balloon, what happens? Well, it floats, it rises. He says, you have two balloons on the inside of you called lungs. If you fill them with air, you'll float. Really? And he let go of the edge of the pool, and he floated. Little things like that. So by word and precept and example, the father mentored his son. Guess which group the son is in now? He's with the eels, and not only with the eels, he's the number one eel. Now, what was the solution? Time with Daddy. And the other really important thing was, Daddy doesn't walk away from you when he sees you're struggling with a problem. A real father jumps in the pool with you and helps you with your problem until you get past it. Now, is that good stuff or what? Do y'all know that that's Hebrews 12? Yeah, that's in Hebrews 12. Look at it. Okay, Hebrews 12, let's start in verse 5. Now, in the King James here, it comes across very harsh. It says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, stop for a moment, look at somebody, say, he loves me. The Lord loves me. Well, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. Boy, doesn't that sound terrible? Chastening and scourging. Oh, my goodness. But if you'll endure the chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, now get this, he, why is he chastening you? Why is he instructing you? It is for your profit. He is interested in everything you do. He is trying to train us. I like one of these words here for chastening and scourging and all of that. One of them, I did a study one time. I don't have it with me right at this moment. But the best English word for it is to tutor. Now, there's a difference between a teacher and a tutor. Right now, I'm standing in the role of a teacher. I'm the only one speaking, and I have many, many listeners. And that's normally a teaching environment. But see, just like Alan with his son Harrison needed more than general teaching. He needed some one-on-one tutoring. And that's really what God does with you. And being God and infinite and time really, you do know where he lives, time is no more. Time is a created thing. He has all of eternity one-on-one, just for you, as if he had no other children at all. You have his complete, undivided attention if you want it. He'll jump in the pool with you if you'll allow me to use that. He'll jump in the pool with you as long as necessary till you overcome whatever it is that's holding you back. But notice it says we have to endure the chastening. You have to receive, let me say it this way, you have to receive instruction. And that involves change. And now we're getting into the message of this place. Change is hard. My mother said years ago, there is nothing so constant as change. The older I get, the more I find that to be true, see. But change is hard. Ruts are really just graves with the end kicked out of them. And it's easy to get in. It's easy to be in a rut. It's hard to get out of one, especially if you've been in it a long time. Now today, I'm just going to take one little aspect, but of the tutoring God is doing with His people. Some of you, this will be like reviews. Some of it, I caution you not to toss it away because of abuse that's been used on this principle. But you can't get away from the Word of God. I'm going to remind you again what Smith Wigglesworth wrote in his sermon titled, Like Precious Faith. Smith said, most of you know who Smith Wigglesworth was. He died the same year I was born, 1947. And in his generation, he was called the Apostle of Faith. Quite a few people raised from the dead. He would pray and cancers would just fall off of people on the floor. All kinds of miracles happened. He was called the Apostle of Faith in his day. And he wrote this in one of his sermons. He says, I understand God by His Word. I cannot understand God by impressions or feelings. I cannot get to know Him by sentiments. If I'm going to know God, I am going to know Him by His Word. I know I shall be in heaven, but I could not build on my feelings that I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because God's Word says it, and I believe God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, go to Romans 10 for just a moment. That verse that he quoted there is Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It helped me to read that to know that Smith Wigglesworth had emotions like everybody else. He says, I know I'm going to heaven, but I couldn't base my case for that on how I feel every day. It helped me to know he didn't always feel like he was going to heaven either. See, if you don't learn to live by God's Word rather than emotions, your life as a Christian is going to be a roller coaster ride. If your Christianity is founded on your circumstances, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. Some days up, some days down, some days He loves me, some days He doesn't. Yesterday I was going to heaven, pretty sure I'm not today. After what I said to my wife, you know, or whatever it is you did. No, our faith is based on God's Word, and thank God it does not change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. So when you hear what God says, and you believe it, to the point you act on it, now you've got something rock solid under your feet. Doesn't mean your emotions won't give you fits. Trust me, I've been at this a long time. They will give you fits. But it won't make you doubt your walk with God. Now, the particular area of tutoring, let's say it this way. God loves you. Hey, let me just tell you this right now. If you believe in the blood, you trust in Jesus as your Savior, you're going to heaven and there's not a thing you can do to make Him love you anymore. I mean, I don't know if you notice this. He loves the sinner. Well, He loves you. What we're talking about is how many wants to stay little. You are His son. I don't want to stay a baby in the crib just making messes and crying all the time. Now, we have grandchildren and children. You know, we love them. We're happy to clean the messes. I'm glad they're still not doing that at age 40. I'm just laying in the bed. Bring me my bottle. I'm going to make messes all day, and you have to love me anyhow. Well, we will. I don't want to be that kind of son. I want to be the kind of son that grows. I want to have a bar mitzvah someday. Do y'all know what a bar mitzvah is? I mean, that's a little celebration that they do where they're saying, our son who was a child today, we declare he is a man of age enough, I think it's 12 or 13, age enough now to participate in the family business. Well, as long as we're little whiny babies in diapers in the crib, thumb sucking, making messes, you're not really ready to participate in the family business. Let me say it a little different. Offended at every little thing. Moved by your emotions. He loved me yesterday. I'm not sure he does today. I went through a horrible time Wednesday night. Those of you that were here, I'm doing much better today. Thank you. I was just as saved Wednesday night as I am today. How many of you want to grow up and get out of that, get out of the playpen, see? Well, I believe you do whether you say so or not. And God's Word says some things about a sore subject that people don't like to talk about. What are you going to talk about, Gary? Okay, put your finger 1 inch below your nose. We're going to talk about your mouth. We're going to talk about your mouth. Now, Smith Wigglesworth was quoting Romans 10:17. Let's look at some things that lead up to that verse. Starting in verse 6 of Romans 10. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. What? Let's stop right there for a minute before we go any further. The righteousness which is of faith, what? No, it must mean think. Speaks. The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy what? Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith with which we preach, that if thou shalt confess, can you do that without using your mouth? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, say mouth, mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now that word salvation there is the Greek word soteria. But the definition is more, when we say that, you know, unto salvation, we tend to just think born again. But the word soteria includes a whole lot more than just being born again. It's deliverance in every area. It's talking about not only, salvation, health, prosperity, peace of mind, good marriage. So, if you put that context there, confession with the mouth is made unto all those things. Let's take a type and shadow from the Old Testament. Go to Joshua chapter 1 just for a moment. Now you got to understand, in the Old Testament, what they had. They had the law. That was their word from God. We have a little bit more than that, but at this time, that's all they had. God's given them instruction on going into the promised land. Moses has died. Joshua has now become the commander and the leader. God is tutoring him. Now, he watched Moses all these years, and he learned a lot of things from watching Moses. How many of you learned some things from watching Dave? I have. I've learned a lot of things from watching him. One reason I'm still following around here is because of the fruit of love. See, if you poke Dave, I don't care how hard you poke him, the only thing that's going to come out is love. I know. I've tried it. I've seen other people try it. Poke him pretty hard, and the only thing that comes out is love. Now, see, you can poke me, and it just depends where you poke me. Depends on what day you poke me and what time of day you poke me. You might get love, you might get something else. So I look at him and I can tell he's further down the path. That's one reason I'm following here. Well, Joshua had learned a lot of things from Moses, but Moses has now died. And notice, God himself is coming to tutor one-on-one Joshua to teach him how to lead these people into the promised land. Well, he says a lot of things, but for time's sake today, let's come down to verse 8. I want you to notice this principle all the way back to the Old Covenant. Now, here it says this book of the law. Well, that's the only word of God they had. They didn't have the rest of the word that we have. What would we put in there? The word. It says here that this book of the law, we would say the word shall not depart out of thy mouth. I looked it up. I thought maybe it's a bad translation. Maybe it could mean something else. But it doesn't. It is the Hebrew word for mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Why is that important to God? We'll just read the rest of the verse. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We have a very similar scripture in the New Testament called, faith without works is dead. It's the doer of the word, not the hearer only, that is blessed in his deed. Right? But let's focus on this one part. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, the one reason I'm bringing this up, Sue and I have been at this a long time. We spend a lot of times in counseling and different things over the years and speaking with people over the years. I will tell you, people that love God, people that have God's word in their heart, people that have God's word in their mind, maybe they know God's word better than I know God's word. But I have found a pattern. We've both seen it over the years. The one thing we do not find when all hell is breaking loose in their life, it is rare, rare to find a person with the word of God coming out of their mouth. Normally, what's coming out of the mouth is the circumstances, the emotions. Where is God? How is this happening? Oh, woe is us. I mean, it is rare to find someone in the midst of their trouble with the word of God in their mouth. With the mouth, confession is made, let me say, to deliverance. Okay? With the mouth, confession is made. Now, I don't want to leave this verse too quick. This book of the law, we would say this word, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, I'm going to take a verse that we all know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the verse. All right? I'm doing Joshua 1:8 right now. Or am I? Well, I've got the word. I'm thinking of it in my heart. I mean, I know it's true. The devil's beating my brains out, you know. Circumstances, whap, 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 whap. Fear, doubt, depression. Everything looks like my ship is sinking. But I know it in my heart. I can do all things. I mean, but nothing's coming out of my mouth, but I've got it in my heart, Gary. I'll be okay, won't I, Brother Gary? I've got it in my heart and in my mind. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. See, the only time it's in your mouth is when you're saying it. Now, you can have it in your heart, you can have it in your mind, but authority is the spoken word. I'm going to take you all the back, don't turn there, but all the way back to Genesis 1:1. It talks about how the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And there was the Holy Spirit. And the Hebrew word is like brooding and incubating and hovering over that. He was there in the chaos. But God the Father wanted light. He didn't want just darkness. He wanted light. Now, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're all three co-equal. God the Holy Ghost knows that the Father wants light. The Holy Ghost sees darkness. He knows the Father wants light. He has the full ability to create light, but he's not doing anything about it, even though he knows what the Father wants. Why? He's waiting for something. What is he waiting for to release that power? Even though it's God's will, the Holy Spirit cannot do it till something happens. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It was the second member of the Godhead, God the Son. He took what was in the Father's heart and he spoke. Light be, and only then did the Holy Spirit release that power to manifest the will of God. He said to me one time in prayer, if I wouldn't violate that law for the God the Father, what do you think the chances are I'll violate it for you? So often, God's answer is 1 inch below our nose. And we go to counseling sessions. We take bank loans to keep our business from failing. Not that that's necessarily wrong. I'm just saying. We just do everything in the natural. When the one thing God has commanded, we don't do. Why? We have not been tutored. Now, I'll tell you right now, if you're going to really walk with God, if we're going to get out of the crib and start participating in the family business, there's going to be some tutoring involving our mouth. Sue and I went through this to some degree early in our Christian walk. We saw another Christian minister and his wife, who I admired at the time. They had made this covenant together that, we're just going to watch each other. And if you hear me say anything that's not according to the word, you just agree with me in Jesus' name that it'll come to pass. And I'll do the same with you. If I hear you say anything negative or opposed to the word of God, boy, I'll jump right in there, you know. Now, see, when I made that deal, myself thinking I was so far superior in my walk with Sue, just telling you the truth, I thought I was making a real good deal. I was finally going to get to straighten this woman out. I'm telling you right now, that was the worst deal I ever made in my life. See, we don't realize what we say. What would really be scary if this invisible person could carry an invisible tape recorder and record everything you say for 1 week and then play it back? Well, anyway, Sue and I start this deal, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a great thing. I'm going to finally straighten this woman out. That's been 30 years ago or so almost. But I would say just wonderful things like, our money just seems to evaporate when we get it. Something like that. You go, I agree with you in Jesus' name. It'll come to pass. Oh, no. We cast those words to the ground. They will not bear fruit. You know, whatever you do, you know. My back is killing me. I agree with you. No. These kids are going to drive me crazy. No. I didn't realize. And Sue, she caught on early to... I had a nice list of verses for you I was going to bring also out of Proverbs. If you'd like to really study on this, Proverbs is full. Just do a word search on mouth, lips, and the tongue. Just do that. Proverbs is full of information. And she learned early on that the power of speaking God's word, not only over things, but over people. Now, this is going to be hard for you to understand, but I was just not always the wonderful man that you see standing before you this day. I'm kidding, those of you that know. Let's say it another way. As bad as I am now, I was way worse then. That's more near the truth, okay? Sue could, you know, when women get together and they talk about their husbands and things, Sue had ample opportunity. I mean, she could have just jumped in there with the rest of them and said all of these things like everybody else was saying. But she learned early on. She did a study in Proverbs and Psalms. Everything that it says about the power of confession and your words. So these other women, they'd be saying things, and Sue could have jumped right in there. They just talk. And she'd hear all these other women, they'd talk about their husbands in not a flattering way. And Sue could have joined right in there now, I'm telling you. But she would say things like this. Well, I don't know what to say. My husband never speaks anything that's not godly with his mouth. All of his words are princely and righteous. Nothing perverse or forward ever comes out of his mouth. My husband is a man of God, head of the household. Everything he does is according to the mind of Christ. Now, do you understand what? My actions were not like that very much at the time. Okay? She had caught on to this, and she began to say it over me, not just in the presence of other... She would get alone with God and just in her daily prayer time, and she would also speak the word over herself. We used to take the love chapter in the Amplified Bible, and, I mean, that's the one that'll kill you, you know. You read that and it just goes, love takes, doesn't even take account of a suffered wrong. Oh, that's me. Yeah. But we would speak it over each other and over ourselves 2 or 3 times a day in the early days. See, because God's word is true. And really, in your nature, in your spirit, you really are already that way. We're trying to bring that mustard seed faith that brings what that seed from the ground on the inside to the fruit that everybody can see on the outside. But it's really true. You are that way. You have the seed of God on the inside of you, and God is love. A little watering. How would I water it? Maybe the words of your mouth. Maybe the words of the mouth. I'm going to go back to Romans. This word of God shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, plain English, say God's word all the time. Or speak in line with God's word all the time. Let me get to Romans myself here. But I don't find people doing that in the natural. And I'm not making confession over you right now. This is sharing time, okay? By the way, we're not going to go. There has been extremes of this to the point you can't even go to a doctor and tell him your symptoms. That's crazy. Now, that's just crazy. What we're talking about is your standard daily confession, so God's word will change you and change your circumstances. Okay? All right. Romans 10, 9, and 10 again. Now, look at this again. Especially verse 10. See, it is true that the heart needs to believe. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. That is true. But it's with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Yes, sir. Okay, go to Mark 11 just for a moment. Mark 11. See, what we don't understand is the authority that is behind the spoken word. The authority. That's why the Holy Ghost couldn't perform. He couldn't make light until God's word was spoken. Jesus is the word of God made flesh. Here we see it in such a precise way when he spoke to that fig tree. He spoke to it, he cursed it, no man eat fruit of thee again forever. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit acted on those words, dried up that tree from the roots. No man's ever going to eat fruit of that tree again, that's for sure. So he's instructing the disciples here in verse 22 of Mark 11. He says, now, he said unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, now notice how many times say is used here. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, there it is again, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. 3 times the word saying is mentioned. 1 time, believing in the heart. One preacher, the Holy Ghost told one preacher one time, said, you're going to have to preach 3 times as hard on confession as you do believing. Because I have a lot of people that believe, but they will not speak to their mountain. They just will not do it. Now, Norval Hayes, I'm going to go ahead and use one of his because it shocked me back in 1980 when I first heard this. And it'll probably shock you now. He says, when was the last time you caught anybody talking to the flu? When was the last time? Now, around this church, may have been last week. But in most churches, they go, what? Talk to the flu? Well, if that's the mountain that's in your house, if that's in your family, or if that's in you, isn't that the mountain? What does he say? Does he say, think about the mountain? Go get counseling about the mountain? Tell everybody else about your mountain? Compare your mountain with their mountain? That's what we do all the time. Well, you won't believe what's happening in my house. Well, let me tell you what's happening in my house. My mountain's way bigger than your mountain. I need counseling. And then you won't find very many counselors that will say, go talk to it. What? With the mouth, confession is made unto deliverance. Say, I don't want to believe that, Brother Gary. That goes against my intellect. Well, the Bible goes against your intellect a lot. Are you going to be tutored or are you not going to be tutored? You going to change what you say? You're not going to change what you say. You going to stay in the playpen, or you going to be somebody God can use? There's a lot of mountains that need moving. And we're not going to move them without doing the way Jesus said to do it. Now he said, talk to it. Gary, are you guilty of this? Going on to the next verse. Let's go back to Proverbs for a minute. Proverbs 10:31. I do have three of them here. Proverbs 10:31. Study that for your own self. Just study that. Lips, tongue, and mouth in the book of Proverbs. You'll be stunned if you've never done it. You'll be stunned what all is in there. Proverbs 10:31 says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. You'll have to look it up. One of the ones that really gets me in here is, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are snared. You made your own trap with your own words. Isn't that scary? Go to Proverbs 14, verse 3. It's almost exactly what we read there in Romans 10. It says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. But now notice this. But the lips. Touch your lips. Whatever is involved, whatever he's talking about here involves those two things. Your lips. Thinking won't get it done. Believing in the heart doesn't get it done. Notice. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The lips of the wise. What you say with your lips can preserve your life. How about life and death is in the power of the tongue? One more. Proverbs 18:7. That's close enough. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. There's an old song. Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. See, when you start doing that, and you start doing it out loud, well, okay, maybe your circumstances are absolutely horrible. But with your mouth, you begin saying, well, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know I was on my way to hell. I'm on my way to heaven now. Thank God for that. You can go on. You just start doing that. Start doing that. Pretty soon, your lips will bring your soul out of the depression that it was in. But what most people do is they use those same lips to keep speaking the horrible circumstances. Everybody they talk to. And then they repeat their horrible circumstances. And the soul becomes more and more snared all the time. And it's by the lips that it's done. Now all I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and release you here in just a moment. This is a short introduction to tutoring when it comes to the Father's instruction for us. I want to walk in His footsteps. I want to let Him train me in the pool if I need to be trained in the pool. And if that involves my mouth, then let's let the chastening begin. Now, I will recommend this to you. I did this once, and it was a better thing than the other thing that I did. I said, Lord, help me. Would you help me set a watch over my mouth that I not sin against Thee with my lips? And I prayed what I was, maybe you won't say it exactly like that, but just say it, Lord, I need this training with my mouth. I need help, Lord. Maybe I'm not even aware of what all I'm speaking that's opposite to your word. Lord, would you help give me a witness this next week or months or however long you want to do? Every time I say something that's opposite or opposed to your will and your word, would you give me a witness, a little check on the inside so I can take note of that and I can begin to change? I did that one time. Oh, my Lord. It's amazing. You'll get a little check. Just like when, you know, if I'll tell you how you can recognize it. Did you ever tell a lie as a Christian? You can't get away with that. You know, I mean, you might do it, but what I'm saying is you're going to get a spanking from daddy, and you know how you get it. It's right there in your spirit. You tell a lie trying to walk away, and you shouldn't have done that. That's not right. You get what's happening. You're getting your spanking. You're being chastened and scourged. Okay? Well, if you'll ask him, set a watch on my lips. Help me with this. You'll say something real spiritual, like, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I don't know why, nobody talks to me or nothing. You're going to get a spanking right there. I'm just a failure, I'm no good at anything, I can't do anything. You're going to get a spanking. You're going to get a, he'll alert you. That's not what my word says. My word says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. My word says you are more than a conqueror. Greater is he that lives in you than he that's in the world. On and on and on. And he'll start tutoring you and training you concerning the words of your mouth. And once we do that, someday we'll have our own bar mitzvah. You'll have your personal bar mitzvah. You'll say, you know, I might be able to use you to help people instead of you always needing help from people. We need training with the words of our mouth. I encourage you to pray that prayer. Lord, help me. Help me. First locate where I am. Help me. Set a watch on my lips that I might not sin against thee. Amen? Well, Father, I need help too. You know I'm the one doing the teaching. You and I know the truth. Father, for all of us then, help us, Lord. Help us. We need this training. We need tutoring from you. Help us speak like the Master spoke. They said of him, no man spoke like this man. Help us speak like the firstborn spoke. Help us be changed into that same image, even with the words of our mouth, that we speak your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen.